الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دور شيب الله. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she was holding onto a burning cinder when the hypocrites Abdullah ibn Ubay and his group accused Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, the most beloved to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam after Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, accused her of unchastity, infidelity, aliyazu billah, which was a direct assault, an attack upon the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also an attack on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these were the works of the munafiqeen that were based in Madinatul Munawwara. And that is why when we study Suratul Nisa and Suratul Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the different categories of disbelief, the different categories of kufr. The worst category is al-munafiqun, the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ, that the hypocrites will be in the lowest abyss of hellfire, in the lowest abyss of hellfire, and they will find no one there as their helper, someone to support them. And the reason for that is very simple: for the attack on Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for the pain they have given to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so generally the munafiqeen during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be given the most pain in Jahannam, in hellfire. And in Suratul Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. You will find that the Jews and the mushrikeen, the polytheists, to be the bitterest from mankind in enmity towards the believers, in enmity towards the believers. So you will generally find that those who hate the Muslimin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also ranked them in Suratul Ma'idah, that the first category will be the Ahle Yahud, and the second category will be the mushrikun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. And you will find those that are nearest in affection to the believers are those who call themselves Nazarenes. Those who call themselves Nazarenes, the true Christians, those who understood the status of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam. And Allah says, why? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانَ. Because amongst them are the monks and the priests who have educated them. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And the tarjuma of لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ is that they are not stiff-necked people. They are not stiff-necked people. People of no arrogance. And so from the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we learn that the worst category are the munafiqeen. And then you have the Ahl Yahud, and then you have the mushrikeen, and then you have those who call themselves Christian. This is the tabaqat, the different categories of disbelief that has been described in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a lot of propaganda in Madinatul Munawwara, aliyazu billah, to defame the honor and the status, the maqam of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Also the fact that people have hasad. Generally you will find that anyone who has earned any kind of popularity or he has a position in society, usually you'll find that these individuals will be the first to be targeted. The first to be targeted. In fact, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam, aliyazu billah, was also accused, a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, nothing could be pointed towards Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and therefore the hypocrites took the opportunity when Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha came with Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala an, and this entire incident has been mentioned in our last session of Darsi Hadith. Such was the propaganda in Madinatul Munawwara that it became the talk of the town. Everyone was speaking about it, aliyazu billah. False rumors that people spread very, very quickly. And we must give it to the companions. Subhanallah, look at the taqwa. Look at the taqwa and the deep understanding Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in had when it came to respecting one another. In the whole of Madinatul Munawwara, only three individuals were caught up in this confusion. Only three individuals. Two were from amongst the men, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a poet, a sha'ir of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Mistah radiallahu ta'ala an, and from amongst the women it was only one, Hazrat Hamna radiallahu ta'ala anha. Only three were caught into the influence, and they were of the opinion and view that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was in the wrong. Of course, alhamdulillah, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was completely innocent, and this was a blatant lie and accusation that was a form of spreading rumors throughout Madinatul Munawwara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Suratul Nur, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةِ. Verily for those who like, يُحِبُّونَ, verily for those who like, أَن تَشِيعَ, who like to spread الْفَاحِشَةِ, shamelessness. Verily for those who like to spread shamelessness amongst the believers, for them lahum adhabun alim is a painful punishment. And Allah says fid dunya wal akhirah, and that punishment is not only reserved for them in the hereafter. Allah says that Allah will punish them in this world and also in the hereafter. And so we have a very important lesson to learn from this ayat-i kareema. A lot of the times you'll find that brothers become very relaxed and we have this carefree attitude. Any piece of information, any news that is given to us, we want to relate it to everyone. Someone might come to you and say, Fala Fala did this, Fala Fala did this, that person is doing this, that person is doing this. We hear it and immediately in our circle of friends, we will talk about that individual, not realizing how serious this matter is. A lot of the people pray five times a day. A lot of the people recite one para a day. A lot of people are very pious, mashallah. Externally, they look very pious. But internally, subhanallah, they keep no control of the tongue and they get caught up into spreading false rumors. And Allah is saying, for these people, punishment is first in this dunya, then in the hereafter. So we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّسَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It is sufficient for a man to be labeled as a liar, for him to relate everything that he hears. Everything that he hears, he wants to relate it. And you will find a lot of people that have this habit. They hear something and they will speak about it. They hear something, they can't digest it, they will not keep it in them, but they want to actually promote it, and they will talk to people about it, as if some points will be given to them if they are the first individuals to inform them of that. And they will say, have you heard? Why, have you heard? Have you heard this happen? Have you heard about this? Have you heard about this news? And generally you'll find that this is gunah kabira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Suratul Humazah, a very important surah in the very last chapter of the Quran, Allah says, وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَةِ. Woe be unto those who are backbiters and slanderers. Woe be unto those who are backbiters and slanderers. So with your salah, with your ibadat, with your worship, a man has to be very careful that he also preserves himself with good character, that he does not get caught up into peer pressure with the people that are around him, the friends that speak to him, and starts to use the same tone and the same language of his friends talking about other people. In the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, it is mentioned that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed from a grave, and there were two graves there. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at the grave and said to the companions, innahuma layu'azziban. Both the occupants of the grave are being punished. And from this hadith, the muhaddiseen have mentioned that for sure there is punishment also in the grave, because of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that both of the occupants of these graves are getting punished. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَمَا يُعَذِّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. One meaning of the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that both of them are getting punished for a sin that they did not take to be a major sin. That they did not take this sin to be a major sin. And they took it very lightly. In fact, they did not even take this as a sin. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, with their salah, with everything, they are still getting punished in their graves. Amma ahaduhuma. As for the first person in this grave, Sahih Bukhari, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. This man had a habit of carrying and walking with namima, carrying tales. This man would indulge in a namima, and one meaning of namima is gossip, gossiping. He would lend ears to gossip, pick up information and relate the gossip to everyone around him. فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. And because of gossip, Allah is punishing him in the grave. Imagine, my respected brothers. عَذَابِ قَبْر is related to gossip and namima. Never mind a person missing out from salah and his faraiz, but even a man who engages in sins of the tongue, sins of the tongue. And another man, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا يستنزه من البول. When he would urinate, he would not take precaution. When he would urinate, he would not take any precaution. A lot of the urine drops would soil the trousers. And he was very carefree about that. For him, it was not important to be clean and maintenance of hygiene, which is so important to use water. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, because of an-namima and because of this man who did not take care whilst urinating, both of them are getting punished in the graves. And so this is a very, very serious matter, my respected brothers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this entire episode in which the munafiqeen have accused Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Quran describes this event as the story of ifk. The story of ifk. And the word ifk is taken from the verse Surah An-Nur. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ. Ifk in the Arabic language means blatant lie. A blatant lie. When a man conceals the truth. So basically, ifk means false imputations. The wrong picture that you give to an individual. That is known as ifk in the Arabic language. And Allah is saying, for sure, those that came with calumny, bil ifk, usbatum minkum, they were only a small group from amongst you. As in only Abdullah ibn Ubay and his followers, the munafiqeen. The mufassirin have mentioned, for a man to strike strife and discord in the Muslim community, you don't have to be in many numbers. You don't have to be a great team for fitna to occur, even in a family, even to break relationship. Allahu Akbar. For fitna, all it takes is one man. One man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. There was just one man in the masjid. And I recall here. And very politely we said to him that the adab of the masjid is that this is how you stand in the masjid and how you stand in front of Allah and how you form your rows in salah. And in front of one of the committee members, this man said, and we took this as offense. Allahu Akbar, as a mu'min, as a Muslim, he said, what are you talking about Masjid Umar? Masjid Umar is not a masjid, ye shaitan ka adda hai. These are the Muslims. When you don't take care of your tongue, and the young that are here, take care of your gob, in your slang language. When you don't take care of your tongue, can you imagine if you have any ill connections with some of the committee members, or you don't have a good relationship, even with the imam, for telling you something that is good, for telling you that something that is good. Or imam ka kaam to kya hota hai? Salam par kar ghar chale jao. Salam par kar ghar chale jao. Fitne ka zamana hai. Pray your salah and go home. Pray your salah and go home. Nothing more than that. Do your job. Amr bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar. For you are to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But shockingly, how can any Muslim call the house of Allah, any house, Masjid Ali, Jamia Masjid, any house of Allah, that it is the den of shaitan. It is the den of shaitan. And this is the carefree attitude that Muslims have adopted. They don't even realize what they speak. At times, a person might be uttering kufr, and he won't even realize. When you try to speak to someone that, my dear brother, this is the command of Allah and His Rasul, and they will say, oh, Mali Sahab, leave your Sharia in your books. What do they say? Leave your Sharia in your books, not even realizing that when you belittle the laws of the Quran and Sunnah, you might even be considered as a kafir according to some of the Muftiyan-e-Izam. But we don't even realize it, my respected brothers. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the most painful punishment will be with the munafiqeen. Why? These were the people who would slander, who would accuse people, and who gave a lot of pain to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this entire event is known as ifk. Ifk means to give the false picture. And during this most difficult moment in the life of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, what she did is that she had taken permission from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she went to live with her parents. This was also covered in the last session of Darse Hadith. The story of Ifk continued for approximately 1 month. So it was not for a few days or 1 week or 2 weeks. This accusation continued in Madinatul Munawwara for 1 month. Imagine how difficult it must be for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If somebody was to accuse anyone from our family that your son has done that your father did this, or your mother is doing this, or your auntie is doing that, imagine how difficult it must be for us. But for someone to accuse the direct family member of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that when I was at the house of my father Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, it was sleepless nights, and I would wake up in the night and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She herself says that I was sure that very soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would inform Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of my innocence. Very soon Allah will inform Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of my innocence. But she says that I never ever expected, never ever expected. And this is her tawazu, the humility, that is how humble she was. She says that I took myself to be a lady of lower status. I never expected this. She never expected that nearly 2 rukus of the Quran will be revealed in the form of Quran exonerating her. 2 rukus. Wallahu alam, to my knowledge, I have not come across from any amongst the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that holds this virtue, that Allah has revealed for that particular individual more than 1 ruku. But for Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, if you open up Surah An-Nur, from إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ, ulama have mentioned until here, it actually covers this entire incident of ifk. Nearly 2 rukus that speak about the purity and the chastity of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And so happy was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So happy he was. He dearly loved Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she was an incredible lady. Incredible lady. At the age of 18, she had memorized the entire Quran. The entire Quran. She was only 18 when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. So at the completion of revelation, all the verses of the Quran had been memorized by Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she knew the tafsir and whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned. Subhanallah al-Azim. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her, Abshiri ya Aisha, I as a husband come to you and give you the glad tidings that Allah has revealed 2 rukus of the Quran, nearly 2 rukus of the Quran, acquitting you and making sure that you are free from any kind of blemish. Any kind of blemish. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, what does she do? The mother said to Bibi Aisha that go and greet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she stood up and she smiled at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she said that first I will greet my Allah. What did she say? First, I will greet my Allah. And she stood up and she performed salah, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And what had happened also, my respected brothers, to those who accused Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Mistah and Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an were flogged 80 strips. They were flogged 80 strips. And Abdullah ibn Ubay was flogged double the amount, who was the munafiq. Abdullah ibn Ubay was flogged double the amount, who was the ra'is, the leader of the munafiqeen. That is why we need to understand, my respected brothers, that the laws of the Quran are a mercy for all of humanity. Laws of the Quran is not man-made. The injunctions and the rulings of Sharia are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is a mercy for all human beings. And if you study the laws of the Quran, the most severe punishment is for who? The most severe punishment is for a man or a woman who is married, and then he or she commits fornication or adultery. The most severe punishment in Sharia. That a man is married, that he has one wife, and if the level of desire is very high, Allah says take two wives. Even then, the level of desire is too high, Allah says take three wives. And even if three wives can't control this individual, then Allah says maximum take four. Allah says, I have created you, I know at four you need to put a full stop. Unless he had me khajuri khata rehta ho bhai. Sorry bhai. At four is bas, not too much. فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. But nowadays, with our food and how weak we are, stick to one. Stick to one. خُشْ رَهُ one. Make her happy, bas, that is good enough. But save yourself from zina. You are married and you commit zina, man or a woman, then a severe punishment. Now, generally if you study the laws, in every case, the testimony of two individuals is sufficient. The testimony of two individuals is sufficient. Two people say something, it is kafi. Two people are witnesses to your nikah. Two people. You only need two witnesses, your nikah is valid. Subhanallah. But if you accuse someone that this man has committed adultery or fornicated, the punishment is severe, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful one. To prove his fornication is near to impossible. Is near to impossible. The Sharia says that you have to have four witnesses, and all four witnesses have to see clearly the act of zina in front. That means a man can't have his back somewhere and he can't see anything. Even then it is not counted. That four people are there. Now, will a man be doing zina in front of an audience? Will he be doing zina in front of an audience? And so basically, whenever we hear that some of the people in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were punished, and some were even stoned to death, it was not that there were witnesses there, it was their own testimony. It was their own testimony. That was the level of taqwa, that they feared to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with zina, with the sin of zina, and they felt that it is better that everything is done and dusted in this dunya, and therefore because of their taqwa they would come and they would testify themselves that we have committed this. And Allah's Nabi is so merciful that at times Allah's Nabi would turn this way, and then she or he would come this way, and only then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would deal with that situation however he wanted to. But generally, you will never ever find four people there witnessing the act of zina. And even then, when the four witnesses, say you find four witnesses that have seen something, then what will happen is that the judge will call each individual separately. And if any one of them has or relates a different story from another, all four will get flogged with 80 lashes. All four will get flogged with 80 lashes. Why? Because there is a scope of doubts. There is a scope of doubt, and that you might be accusing someone of fornication. Allahu Akbar. And so the entire masail of chastity, purity, that a man, mashallah, should not lift up his hand or fingers to someone and accuse him, this is all wrong. We have to be extremely careful, my respected brothers. These are the masail and the ahkam of Sharia. Now, very quickly, just to explain, if someone came to you and said that Fala Fala is having an affair with Fala Fala lady, somebody comes to you and says that in our community that such and such a man is having an affair with such and such a lady, as Muslims, what are we to do? What is our fundamental duty? Do we believe them? Are we to believe them? No, we are not to believe them. Even if they come to you and tell you, you are not to believe them. Do we accept the story that is related to you? No. Sharia tells you not to accept it. In fact, as a believer and as a Muslim, you should be concerned and you should tell him, by fear Allah. Fear Allah, it is farz to protect the honor of your Muslim brother. It is farz to protect the honor of your Muslim brother. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was with a group of people in the mataf, and he said that, is there anything that is more honorable than the Kaaba? Is there anything that is more honorable than the Kaaba? Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in said, Ya Rasulullah, is there anything more honorable than Baytullah Sharif? Allah's Nabi said, yes. Even more honorable than the Kaaba is the honor of your Muslim brother and sister. More honorable than the Kaaba is the honor, is respect that you should give and that each one of us deserve. If somebody tells you something, discard it, because it does not even affect you. It does not concern you. And Allah's Nabi has said, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِهِ. That which does not concern you, the best Islam is to shun it. Don't even hear about it. Now, you'll find some people who will say that, no, okay, I won't speak about it, but I will verify the truth in this matter. Is it your duty to ascertain? Is it your duty to ascertain? Sharia says no. It is not even your duty to go out and find out whether this thing has happened or it hasn't happened. It is only your duty if it directly affects you. If it is your family, if it is your own children, if it affects you, only then it is of your concern, and then you should ascertain. But generally, subhanallah, what a peaceful world it would be if all of us could implement the ahkam and the character that is mentioned in the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, and that is what is mentioned in the ruku revealed, which speaks about the honor of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Allah says, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Why didn't they, the believing men and believing women, think of themselves good when they heard the rumors that were in Medina, that all of them should have said, هَذَا إِفْكُمْ مُبِينَ, that this is a blatant lie. That this is a blatant lie. Allah is saying that you, the minute you hear this, somebody talking and accusing someone, Your Islamic duty is to say that this is a lie. Subhanallah. Immediately say. Why? Because until that man is not proven, and it does not even affect you. As a Muslim, you should say this is a blatant lie. A lot of people say, do you think this is true? Do you think it is the truth? But in which capacity do you want it to be the truth? Who are you and how are you related to that individual? You have to say, it is a lie, it is a blatant lie. In fact, Allah is saying, never mind blatant lie. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُهُ كُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah says that the attitude should be of the believers, that when they hear someone accusing someone, is that they should have said that it is not even permissible for us to speak about this matter. قُلْتُمْ مَا نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. It is not even permissible for us to speak on this matter. And they should have said, Subhanak, glorified be Allah, هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. And this is a great calumny. And this is بُهْتَانِ عَظِيمٌ on this individual. This should be the attitude of the Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. The reason why we mentioned the story of Ifk, that in the last session I did explain, what Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had mentioned with regards to the story of Ifk, and this was in front of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all that was covered in the last session. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Dua kalli. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.